Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Thank you, Jesus. God bless you again, and you're welcome to our times of impartation, which is our midweek teaching service, during which we take time to go through the scriptures and to impart knowledge and understanding to the people of God. For a couple of weeks now, I have been looking at assessing the full benefits of our salvation, and I'm trusting God to bring that teaching to a close this evening. Please stand with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. This letter, or this writing, is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. There is a plan that God has concerning you. I thought somebody was going to say amen. Yeah. And I mean you. You may not see yourself as anything. You may even feel that God is not likely to be interested in somebody like me. I have too many challenges. I have too many things I am battling and contending with in my life. I don't think that God likes somebody like me. How mistaken are you? He does not just like you, he loves you. And the Bible says he has loved us with an everlasting love. What is the proof of God's love for you? The Bible says that God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if he loved us so much while we were sinners, and he was intent on demonstrating his love to us, which he did by sending Jesus, what makes you think that his love for you has reduced? Now that you are saved and you are born again and you are a child of his. So I want you to understand that God's will is that he will use you. Amen? And he has plans concerning you. His expectation is that great things will come out of you. You've got to believe it with all your heart. And you have to surrender to God's will and plan for your life, so that you will shine and affect the generations around you. May the will of God concerning your life come to pass. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. It goes on and says, I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Your salvation and my salvation is a fully loaded package. Now, there are some cars, when you go to buy them, they come in grades. There are the ordinary, simple ones, same car model. So let's say you've gone to buy, what's your favorite car? Do you have any? Pastor James is Jaguar. That Jaguar thing, did you say it yourself or is mommy who imposed it on you? You have to buy a Jaguar for your wife. She's a Jaguar baby. May God empower you with everything that you need to buy a Jaguar for that daughter of mine. If your amen is very loud, the prophecy will come to pass. Now, there are Jaguars, I'm sure, which are ordinary. But I'm sure that there are also Jaguars that are labeled special edition. All right? And usually, cars that are labeled special edition, they come fully loaded with all kinds of gadgets. And they are able to do all kinds of things. Amen. And it is important for us to understand that our salvation comes fully loaded. There are a lot of benefits that come with our salvation. A benefit is something that is good. A benefit is something that places you at an advantage. May God load your life with benefits. And may those benefits place you at an advantage in this life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, another way of describing these benefits is to call them blessings. And God has blessed us with a special gift called salvation, which comes with many beautiful, amazing blessings. It's like somebody comes to you with a hamper. Usually around Christmas time, people give a lot of hampers. Now, it's a gift. But you realize that the hamper contains a lot of individual products. So sometimes they may bring you a hamper made up of toiletries. There is washing powder, Dettol, cake soup, and various things. So it's a package, but there are many different things in it. A hamper may come with provisions. So there's milk, there's Milo, may have sardine, and various other things. So it is a package, but it contains so many different things. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how our salvation is. And one scripture that clearly proves this is what we just read. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. And I'm always careful to stress this point, that God has already blessed us. It is not something he's thinking about. It's not something he's considering. He's already done it. And it says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And that's exciting. There is the earthly realm, and there is the heavenly realms. I don't know why anybody would like to compare the earthly realm with the heavenly realm. If you've seen beautiful things on earth, then your mind will be totally blown. And I believe that it will be very difficult for you to comprehend the kinds of blessings that are available in heaven or the heavenly realms. And the Bible says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Now, to be united with Christ is one of the end results of being saved. So you can say that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are saved. And these spiritual blessings are what I am describing as benefits. And the purpose of this teaching is to help you and I to be able to assess all these benefits of our salvation. There are many of them. And I have explained to you that they are spiritual blessings. They are not physical blessings. They are not material blessings. They are spiritual blessings. And material blessings are things like cars and houses and buildings and what have you. You know, as Christians, one of the questions we ask ourselves is that I'm a Christian. The Bible makes me to understand that God has blessed me. But why am I not seeing certain things in my life? Why do I seem to be struggling more than some unbelievers that I know? I am the one who is trying to live right, trying to stay pure, trying to serve God. But I see people who fool around and they seem to have everything that makes life comfortable. Is it that the word of God is not true? When God says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, is it possible that it is not true? You see, you are misunderstanding the scriptures. Because the Bible is careful to explain to us that these blessings are spiritual blessings. They are not physical blessings. I know that there's a kind of gospel that has been preached for many, many years. In fact, there was a period when it was the main thing in Christendom. And that gospel is called the prosperity gospel. Now, the essence of that gospel was to make Christians and followers of Christ to believe that they are going to be rich, that they're going to have a lot of money, that they're going to have a lot of things. And during those days, we used to move around claiming things. You see somebody's house, no, I claim it. You see somebody's car, I claim it. I'm sure there are people who claim somebody's husband and somebody's wife. You know. Now, that whole thing became a covetous venture. Coveting all sorts of things. And there were scriptures that were used to support that. And even today, in the church, such a gospel is preached. Look, I must be quite frank with you. That God never said anywhere that he was going to give you a car. Oh, Pastor, you have spoiled the church. God never said anywhere that he was going to give you a house. And don't live your Christian life thinking all kinds of things. Let me explain it further to you. You can actually own your own car. You can. You can build your own house. You can have material things. You can have a lot of money. You can have a successful business. But so can the unbeliever. And many unbelievers have these things. And a lot of believers don't have them. What you have to understand is that there are principles. There are things that you do that you follow, when you follow those things. And these are principles that God has set in place for anybody and everybody, irrespective of where you live and where you come from. Principles like hard work, principles like diligence, principles like planning, excellence. These are principles that God has put in place in this world. And these principles work for everybody. So that explains why there are many people in Japan who don't serve God, but they are fantastically rich. And they are rich because they apply the principles, and principles are no respecter of persons. And unfortunately, a lot of us Christians do not pursue excellence. We follow mediocrity in many of the things that we do. We don't work hard enough. We don't work diligently enough. We don't apply wisdom to a lot of things that we do. We don't save. We don't budget. We don't have investments. We don't do any of those things. And these are the things that the unbelieving world does, and they prosper as a result of them. And you can assess these blessings also, not because of your covenant relationship with God. But I took my time to explain, when I was explaining what these spiritual blessings are, that these spiritual blessings, through them, you can actually have material blessings. Or through spiritual blessings, you can position yourself in a way that material blessings can become a part of your life. Hallelujah. So for example, spiritual blessings like righteousness. Look at Psalms 37 verse 3 to 6. Psalms 37 verse 3 to 6. Trust in the Lord and do good. That means live righteously. Then you will live safely in the land, and then you do what? You prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Verse 5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Verse 6. Okay, so up to verse 5 is all right. Now, so it's talking about living right, doing good, that if you follow these things, you will prosper. Now, when you follow the right things and you strive to do right, what it does is it can position you to be blessed materially. But don't think that just because you are righteous. Now, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, don't think that just because you have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it means that you're going to prosper. Your righteousness can place you at an advantage. And there are different things that work together to make people succeed, though. It's not just one thing. Another spiritual blessing that you can talk about is faith. Faith. Abraham was a man of faith and he prospered. But you will notice that he didn't just believe God, but he obeyed God. Look at when God asked him to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. He set out to actually carry out God's instruction. It wasn't just his faith. There was his obedience. There were things he had to do. When God told him that he was going to have a child, there were things that he had to do. He had to make the effort to sleep with his wife. He was old. He may have been tired. But there were things he had to do for the child of promise to come. God didn't tell him, as was said to Mary, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive of the Holy Spirit and you give birth to a son and you shall call his name Isaac. No, there was nothing like that. So he was a faith person. So the Bible says that faith without works is dead.
What I'm trying to get you to understand is, don't have the erroneous impression that just because you are a Christian, it means that you're going to prosper by all means. One of these days, I'm going to teach us. Somebody was asking me, well, are you not going to teach us about prosperity? My initial reaction was no. But later on, I thought about it. I said, why shouldn't I teach about it? Because when I teach about it, it will help us to deal with the misconceptions and the errors in our minds. And it will help us to think properly. Hallelujah. So spiritual blessings are not material blessings. And we've looked at different spiritual blessings. I've talked about righteousness. I've talked about faith. We can talk about things like wisdom, redemption, forgiveness, righteousness and sanctification, the Holy Spirit living in us, and so on and so forth. These are spiritual blessings that come with our salvation, and God has made all of them available to us. And I'll encourage you that look out for the message, the first two parts of this teaching on assessing the full benefits of our salvation. Check from the podcast. Just search for Pastor Johnny Awanyo podcast, and by the grace of God, you'll find me. And look through the messages. You will get to where I talked about assessing the full benefits of our salvation. I can't run through all of that again because I must conclude today. So now let's move and delve straight into how to assess the full benefits of our salvation. How can we assess them? How can we assess them? Number one, know and truly believe that salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. It is much more than that. Know and truly believe that salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. It is much more than that. You want to assess the full benefits of your salvation, you must, number one, know. And number two, you must truly believe that that gift called salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. It is much more than that. Hallelujah. So again, Ephesians 1:3, which we've read already, talks about how God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So it's talking about our salvation, and it is explaining to us that there are a lot of spiritual blessings connected to our salvation. And I'm explaining to us, ladies and gentlemen, that your salvation is not just your ticket to heaven. That's all there is to it. There's much more than that. There's much more than that. There are a lot of exciting, wonderful blessings that have been packaged along with your salvation. And you must know. How would you know these blessings and benefits? From the Word of God. Because the Word of God reveals what God's will, what God's plans and purposes are, what God has done for us, the promises of God, the blessings He's loaded us with. You find them in the Word of God. You've got to know. Not only do you have to know, but you've got to believe that with your salvation comes a lot of wonderful spiritual blessings. You've heard me tell this story before of a guy who decided to travel to Europe. He saved a lot of money and bought the ticket. And he got onto a ship because he decided to go on a cruise ship on this journey. Now, when he was going on board the ship, he took along with him some biscuits and some drink, maybe shemima. Do you know shemima? Yes, drink that you mix. Small thing, when you mix it becomes plenty. And then he went into it because he didn't have a lot of money. In fact, he had to save for a long time to be able to afford the ticket. And sometimes he will come out of his cabin and then he'll smell the food. You see, there's some food, when you smell it, the way the smell is, you feel like I should go and buy kinky and then dip it into the air and eat it. Because the environment and the atmosphere is saturated with the good scent of the food. So anytime he came out of his cabin, he could smell the food. He could see people going into the restaurant, and but sometimes he would peep through the restaurant windows and see how people were feasting. And then sadly, he'll make his way back to his cabin, grab a biscuit or two, and then his shemema, and just be try and tell himself that one day my level will change. Now, a few days to when the ship was to arrive at the final destination, he came out and the captain saw him, and then the captain paused and said, "Say, you know, all through the journey, I've never seen you in the restaurant. Is there a problem? Is it that you don't like the food? What's really going on?" I said, "Oh, I can't afford it. I don't have the money for it." And the captain said, "What? What are you saying?" He said, "Say, did you buy a ticket for this trip?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Everything is included in the ticket, la. All the food that you saw there, plus other things, you can go to the gym, you can go to the swimming area. All of that is included in the ticket, la." So the ticket was a loaded one, and it had a lot of blessings and benefits that went along with it. But he didn't know. And this is the problem of many Christians. We don't know what is ours, what our heritage is in Christ Jesus. Then comes the other problem. Even when we know, we don't really believe it. Because when you really believe something, you believe from here. It's not just giving a mental assent to something. To really believe. So that's why the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe," where? In your liver, kidneys, lungs, intestines, big or small. Where? Heart. That's when it works. If you believe in your heart, that's when you will be saved. So it's one thing knowing something, and it's another thing truly believing in that thing that you know. So if we want to assess the full benefits of our salvation, we must know what they are. And we must believe in them with our heart. And it mustn't be a casual belief. It must not just be accepting it in your head. It is something that you must truly believe. That's how we can assess the full benefits of our salvation. Number two. How can we assess the full benefits of our salvation? Number two, we must renew our minds about God and His plans for us. We must renew our minds about God and His plans for us. We got to change the way we think. We have to change a lot of thoughts and impressions that we have about God and about His plans for us. Because many Christians have bad thoughts about God. So there has to be a renewal of your mind. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your mind is a very important part of who you are. And it's a very influential part of who you are. Everybody is a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Your soul is that part of you that has to do with your intellect, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what makes up your soul. And your mind is very, very important. Why is your mind important? Look at Proverbs 23 verse 7, New King James Version. Just the first part, part A. Proverbs 23 verse 7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he.
Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Now, originally, what this verse is explaining is that there are some people, they appear generous. They say, oh, eat. Mundidi, munum, mundidi, munum. But really, he's not happy that you are eating and drinking. So he looks generous, but he's actually miserly or very selfish. All right? But that first part of the scripture is a revelation. Because your mindset, how you think, reveals your identity in this life. How you think, it reflects in who you are. Which is why, if you want to make somebody's life better, one of the major things you need to do for the person is to change the way the person thinks. Because the way you think, your mindset greatly influences how you behave, what you do, and how you maneuver through this life. Don't joke with your mind. It's a very major battlefield that determines the outcome of a lot of things where your life is concerned. Your mind. Which is the reason why, after you are saved, one of the important things you need to do is to do what? Renew your mind. So look at Romans chapter 12 verse 2 from the Good News Translation of the Bible. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. It says, do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Let God transform you inwardly. Let God make you better. Let God make things work better for you by allowing Him to cause your mind to be changed or to be renewed. You can never do well as a Christian until there is a renewal of your mind. Renewal. I like how the Good News Translation puts it. A complete change of your mind. That you must overhaul your mind. If you are going to see some major changes in your life. Some of us have been limited by certain cultural thoughts. Limited by the way things are done. In the community you grew up in the family that you grew up in. And look, never downplay how your environment can greatly dictate who you become in this life. And often your environment makes you think in a certain way. And until you break out of a certain way of thinking, you can never become what God wants you to become. And you can never become that great person that is your portion and that is your heritage in Christ Jesus. You got to change the way you think and you've got to renew your mind. It's almost like you have to reformat. You have to reformat your mind and load different programs into it. Because the old programs are not good. They won't let you end up well. You've got to change the way you think. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to change the way we think about God if we are going to assess the full benefits of our salvation. We have a certain impression of God. He doesn't want us to be happy. He doesn't want things to work out for us. No, that's not it. It is the same God who has put in place all these principles that if you follow them, you can prosper in this life. So why do we have bad thoughts about Him and bad thoughts about His plans for us? Look at Matthew chapter 7 verse 9 to 11. Matthew 7 verse 9 to 11. New Living Translation. It says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? What is the answer? No.
Or if they ask for fish, do you give them a snake? What is the answer? Of course not. Then look at what the Bible says. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, this is trying to help us to understand God's intention concerning us. His intention is to bless us. And in the Ephesians 1 verse 3 scripture that we looked at, we are made to understand that he has already blessed us. He has already blessed us. So when you are at a place in your life where you don't think that God is interested in you, that God wants you to do well, God wants you to excel, God wants you to have joy, God wants you to have peace, God wants you to experience well-being. If you don't believe these things, if you don't know that God wants you to have these things and you do not believe in them, there's no way you can assess them. Can I have an amen from somebody? So you must know and you must believe. So in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God has great plans for us. And he has already blessed us with all the spiritual blessings that we need to ensure that his plans concerning us are fulfilled and they come to pass. But you've got to know and you've got to believe them. And that's why you must be a student of the Bible. That's why you should know the word of God for yourself. And you can know God's word for yourself. Till you get to that place in your life, you will just miss out on many of the wonderful blessings that God has already made available to you. But when you get into the word, when you study the word of God, when you read the word of God, when you listen to the word of God, then you begin to know. And then the more you read and the more you listen, the more the tendency you have to believe in those things that you are reading or hearing. And that is when you can begin to assess these blessings that God has prepared for you. Can I have an amen from somebody? Number three, the third thing that we must consider if we want to assess the four benefits of our salvation is we must intentionally focus on Christ, who is the source of these spiritual blessings. We must intentionally focus on Christ, on Jesus, who is the source of these spiritual blessings. We must focus on him. We must focus on him through prayer, through our faith confessions, through the study of the word, through worship, and all these other spiritual activities. But we must intentionally focus on Christ, who is the source of all these spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8. Ephesians 3 verse 8. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about what? Can you read the last part with me? About the endless treasures available to them in Christ. The endless, dear, dear. What are treasures? What are treasures? When we say treasures, what do we mean? Things of value, expensive things, quality things, precious things. And the Bible says that these endless treasures or blessings, if you like, are available to the believer in Christ. He's the source of them. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Glorious riches given to us in Christ Jesus. These blessings are in Christ Jesus. So how can you assess them? You got to focus on Christ. That is why in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, we are encouraged to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one we must focus on. And we must be intentional about it. Our minds must be on Jesus. We must focus on him. When we are praying, when we are reading the word of God, when we are studying the word of God, when we are worshiping, everything that we do, our focus must be on Jesus, because he is the source of every good thing that we want to see in our lives. Hallelujah. Look, it is not automatic or incidental that you will enjoy these benefits of your salvation. I mean, the fact that they have been given to you is not, it doesn't mean that automatically you will enjoy them. Because you can have something, but that thing will not benefit you. Is that not so? Yeah, you can have something. It is yours, but it will not benefit you. There are people who save a lot of money, all right? But it never really benefits them. I mean, I personally think that you should be able to chop. Chop some of the money that you have. Look, it's actually a curse when you have something and you cannot enjoy from that thing that you have. So don't live a life where you always want to save, but you cannot take out of it to buy something nice for yourself. It's just that some people, every time they want to buy something nice for themselves. That one is also a problem. Then the flip side of the problem is you can't enjoy of what God has given to you. That one is also a problem. It's also a problem. You are living with a woman who is stayed faithfully married to you for all these years with all your somewhereness. You can't buy anything for her. You can't take her on a holiday somewhere. Every time it's like, I'm saving for this, I'm saving for that. Yeah, I said save. Yes, you should save. But be able to enjoy a bit of what you have. Because that one is also a blessing. Tell the person sitting by you that it looks like God is speaking to you. Every time you are saving, you can't. No, it's not right. It's not right. The wife says, take I and the children out. Take us somewhere nice. He said, but the place that we are going to, is it not the same Fanta that is in the fridge that we are going to drink? Is it not the same Fanta? There's Fanta, there's biscuit. What's the problem? Let's just eat and be happy. Look, we have to save, or we have to do this. Yeah, I understand. But once in a day, take her out and the children and spread them. Can somebody say an amen to that? And treat yourself good sometimes. What's it? Treat yourself good. And try and raise your level small. But when I talk about treating yourself good, I'm not talking about the check guy, the guy who sells the fried rice and something behind your house. Masa, fried rice and you will move throw to you. Yes. Go to KFC. Did somebody mention Yamis? I wonder why they mentioned your name. Don't mind them at all. Go to KFC. Go to Pizza Hut.
There's a restaurant called Nyamiye Restaurant. Okay, so when they mentioned his name, that's the one they're afraid of. But we are saying that it's not there we are asking you to go to. Do you see? Try and spend small on yourself. Tell the person sitting by you, spend small on yourself. And remember me as well. All right. So I'm explaining to you that we must intentionally focus on Christ, who is the source of these spiritual blessings. Focus on Him. Focus on Him. On Jesus. Don't focus on any man. Don't focus on your pastor. Don't focus on your prophet. Focus on Christ. Look, if you focus on me, your pastor, you'd be very disappointed. If you think that I'm the one who's going to solve all your problems in this life, you'd be very, very disappointed, because I haven't finished solving my own. Hallelujah. Let's end. Number four. Assessing the full benefits of our salvation. We should not settle for less than what God has made available to us. Amen. We should not settle for less than what God has made available to us. If we're going to assess the full benefits of our salvation, we should not settle for less than what God has made available to us. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. Philippians 3 verse 12. Paul says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. Now what he's saying here is that I'm not settling for anything less than what I believe lies ahead of me. Then he goes on to say, but I press on. I do what? I press on. I'm not settling for just what I see, what I have. Because that is less than what God has prepared for me. Instead, I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. And ladies and gentlemen, let's learn not to settle for less than what God has made available to us. Because when we do that, it's a tragedy. Amen? There are full benefits, a lot of great blessings that God has made available to us. Spiritual blessings. And through these spiritual blessings, we can position ourselves to enjoy material blessings. But understand that what God has given to us are spiritual blessings. You can take those spiritual blessings, apply all the other principles that God has made available in this world, and it will translate into material blessings for you. But you got to assess these spiritual blessings, and you must not settle for less than what God has made available to you. Hallelujah. Because there's so much that is made available to us. Why do we want to take only this and this and this and leave out the others? That's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate. And then the last one. We must strive to live a life of obedience to God. If we are going to assess the full benefits of our salvation, we must strive to live a life of obedience to God. We must strive to live a life of obedience to God. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 2, New King James Version. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 to 2. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And then it goes on and begins to list the blessings. But notice that the blessings are connected to diligently obeying and following commands of God. Hallelujah. When we do that, we will benefit from everything that God has put in place for us. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. So these are some of the things that you can pursue in order to be able to assess the full benefits
of your salvation. And you remember I taught us on Calvary must not be in vain. And one of the things that I said is, one of the things that can cause Calvary to be in vain is when we don't assess the full benefits of our salvation, which is the reason why I moved on from there to now talk about how to assess the full benefits of our salvation. So it is connected to the series on Calvary must not be in vain. I conclude by saying this to all of us, that there's so much that God has made available to us. So much. There are so many benefits. There's so many spiritual blessings that are yours and mine. And we must earnestly contend for these benefits to see them in our lives. Understand that primarily they are spiritual blessings. But the exciting thing about them is that if we can assess those spiritual blessings and we apply the other principles that lead to wealth creation and to prosperity, we will do well. And then what's going to happen to us is that we'll do well spiritually, and then we'll also do well physically and materially. The Bible says that a false balance is an abomination unto the Lord. Sometimes Christians think that there are things that are going to come our way automatically because of what we've read. You know, like these blessings will come upon you. Blessed shall I be in the city. Blessed shall I be in the field. Blessed shall I be in that going out. Blessed shall be that thy cattle and their flock and all of this. They are not automatic things. They are not automatic things. So I pray that God will help us to assess the full benefits of our salvation so that our lives can be a shining example of the goodness of the Lord and of the grace of the Lord upon his people. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us how we can assess the full benefits of our salvation. I pray in the name of Jesus that cause your Holy Spirit to reveal more unto your people. I believe, Father, that you want us to do well. You want our lives to be better. You want our lives to be greatly enriched and enhanced. I pray that may these spiritual and scriptural truths help us to become everything that you've destined us to be. May your holy name be praised forevermore. And in Jesus' name have we prayed with thanksgiving. And let the people of God say amen. And let the people of God put their hands together for the Lord and give him praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.